Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Abbott, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in Alabama.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
The shit is bananas.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Spirit of Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, you're probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga real point of cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black me. Out.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, December 5th, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. As always, I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. We have a bunch of stuff to talk about tonight, but before any of that, before we do any of that, I want to welcome my guest to the line. That is Scott Summers.
Hello, hello. What's up, man?
How you doing, man?
Big J-Cat. How are you, dog?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. Just, you know, I saw you wrestle the one time, you know, when you came over to CZW. You know, we'll get to that. And I really don't know that much about you, so I figure, you know, take this opportunity, you know, get a little more into, you know, different stuff you've been up to.
That's cool. I appreciate you having me, man.
No problem. How'd you get into wrestling?
I always liked wrestling, you know what I mean, when I was a little kid. It was different for me, man. I was walking around in diapers, and I think the first thing I ever saw of wrestling was actually a promo. And it was probably Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA and Tully and when all those battles were going on, man. And I before I even saw the guys wrestling, I mean, you know, I fell in love with it when I was little. You know, I was in diapers. They were in their trunks. I actually broke my arm jumping off the couch. That's a story in itself. But, yeah, Macho Man style. Over the coffee table, clip the coffee table, break my arm on the couch. So I caught the wrestling bug really early, man. It was, I didn't have comic books. I had wrestling, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, sure. You know, obviously you continued to watch wrestling throughout your childhood and all that. When did it become, you know, where you felt like you really wanted to be part of the business, you wanted to actually, you know, train and that type of stuff?
You know, man, there was never a real way to train. It was, you know, it was just always, I mean, you heard about it, but I lived, you know, I moved from Boston, and Killer Kowalski had his school, but I was too young to know about it. And then I moved down here, and, you know, you had the Free Birds, and I remember Chris Adams having his wrestling school come on a commercial for a class, but I was still way, way too young. But that was when I realized there were schools for this. But, you know, I put it outside, out of mind, never heard of it. And then Shawn Michaels had his wrestling academy open, and I wanted to go there. I couldn't afford it, man. I was going to college and doing that and trying to get a partial scholarship and all that stuff, and I couldn't do it. So finally, man, I ended up hooking up with somebody that knew him, and, I mean, that was just kind of all she wrote. I got trained and got my ass kicked, and it was good stuff, man. I trained with Ken Johnson, Dusty Wolf, who were two WWE jobber guys, and for a few months with Jose Lothario. So, I mean, you know, it was – but you never stop training. Obviously, y'all know that, so.
Right. What was, you know, the experience training like? Obviously, you know, it's a long step from jumping off your couch as a kid. So,
yeah.
You know, how was it? You know, was it a – you know, as hard
brutal,
as you thought it was going to be? Or?
It was brutal the way it should be. I mean, man, I played football at Stephen F. Austin in college. I played ball in high school, college. You know, you think, you know, did a little MMA, but wrestling's harder than anything in this world. You know what I mean? People knock it or this or that, what we do, but it doesn't matter what style you do. Deathmatch, regular wrestling, you're beating yourselves up, you know? Like, we're our worst own enemies. It's, you know, taking our falls and all that stuff. And it's tough, man. It's tougher than I ever thought it would be. It's tougher than any sport I've ever done. But, I mean, I consider it a sport. I don't give a crap what anybody else says. I consider it a sport.
Sure. And the athleticism of it is unmatched.
Yeah.
I mean,
it might be a sport of who can beat themselves up the best, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So, that's a very true statement. And, you know, you try to avoid injury, of course, but I don't think you seek out punishment in any other sport.
Yeah. But, you know, that's usually what, in the crazy world of wrestling, it's those big bumps. You know, they made Foley. Foley was amazing before he ever took that bump off the cage. But, you know, he had to do that for people just to realize how crazy he really was. I mean, people that really knew the guy saw him blowing himself up with Terry Funk at FMW in Japan and stuff like that. So they already knew, but the mainstream, I guess, you know what I mean? The mainstream people.
Yeah. Yeah. So how long did you train for before you actually, you know, got a match?
Maybe 8 months. I was decently a natural man, but, you know, there's some guys who were born to do this, you know, like, for example, probably like Brian Danielson. That guy was born to do it. You know, he probably picked it up. Now, I broke in with him, and I remember seeing him a little ahead of me, and it's like he'd been wrestling for years. You know what I mean? But you can see that in his wrestling. For me, man, I took about 50 backdrops one practice. You know what I mean? Just so I wouldn't hold on to the guy, and it's just, you know, you got to jump in feet first. For me, it took I think the old days it took people longer. For me, I have to do stuff repetitively, if that makes sense. But like I went to practice every day, and I did stuff on my own, and I tried. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Now, you know, when you're training, you obviously, eventually, you know, you do get it. You start to, you know, really, you know, click with everything. And what motivated you for your style, or, you know, where did you take your inspiration from your wrestling style from?
You know, man, I don't know if it ever really clicks. I think it just clicked for me, and I'm 34, right? You can't be out there. I think it clicked for me, man. I turned 34, and I don't know. You know, when people say it clicks for them, I think it clicks different times. You know, just when I think. Right when I think that I'm done learning. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. When I first started wrestling, I had a different style, man. I went to AAA in Mexico and flew around lucha style and had long hair and you know, is running around like Chris, trying to be the next Chris Jericho, and then I realized that shit hurts. So I was always a real big fan of like Perry Saturn, obviously Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, and then I started watching Japanese wrestling. Masada, who's practically my little brother, was over there doing all that crazy deathmatch shit, and I was like, man. But I would watch, you know, guys like Kenta and guys like Minoru Suzuki and Takashi Suguri, and those guys are just, they were beating the crap on each other, and it was just really, 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 really amazing how much they made it look like a legit battle.
Yeah.
I'm on
phone. Well, at what point did you decide to, you know, get into the deathmatch style of wrestling?
Masada did that, man. It was kind of his fault. It started on accident. He just asked me why didn't I try it. And I liked watching like Terry Funk and Gordy and those guys. And I would see some guys do it, and I was just like, I appreciate everybody and you know their style. I don't give a crap. People don't like deathmatch wrestling. That's cool, but you know I appreciate it. Anybody steps in the ring, you know. But when I learned about real deathmatch wrestling, I don't know. It was, thank God it was through Masada. If that makes any sense for you.
Yeah. When did you meet Masada?
2099. You know, and I mean that guy by himself is an amazing wrestler. Like he doesn't have to do that deathmatch stuff. He does it because he likes hurting people. You know, and I started doing it. It was just him teaching me and saying, "Hey, man, you should try it this way." And you know, it's actually a lot of fun. He goes, "You're actually a pretty sadistic, crazy bastard. So you should try it." And you know, being taught by that guy is a blessing. I did it and I liked it. You know, but who? How many people can say that they learned from him? If that makes sense, you know what I mean? The guy. You know, that's the guy in the business as far as that style of wrestling, and he's very underrated. His regular wrestling. I mean, I've seen him wrestle some of the best around. He goes, you know, toe-to-toe with those guys, so.
Yeah, he definitely can. I saw a couple of, like, YouTube stuff, and you wrestled Rachel Summerlin.
yep.
What was that like?
She's a badass. Rachel's tough, man. Girl or not, you know, a lot of people knock that, and like, oh, you know, you know, basically, I had a daughter. She's 16 months old, and I didn't want to fight a girl. And you can tell in the match. If you see the match, I didn't want to fight her. And she eventually caught me in the face with a chair and about 40 staples later. And, I mean, you know, I tapped out. I mean, what can you say? You know, I'm not, you know, anybody that knocks that kind of stuff and they say, oh, well, you know, that's not believable. Well, if you've ever seen Ronda Rousey, she's the big, legit badass in MMA, and she would armbar half the guys she works out with and taps them all out. You know, Rachel's legit, man. You know, she screwed around and didn't want to fight her and was trying to, you know, be a good man and be civil, and I got smacked in the face with a chair, and that's what I get. It didn't happen the second time, trust me, bro. I threw her through barbed wire board like it was nobody's business, but, you know, you live and you learn. But, yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's tough, but, you know, it's one of those things that, of course, you're going to get the, you know, the criticism for the people that don't understand it. You know, in wrestling, you are taking care of the other person in the ring, and as well as, of course, there is, you know, a danger and stuff like that, but go ahead.
You know, man, but those people, I get what they're saying, but half the people, you know, I mean, not to blow my horn, but half those people couldn't beat me up in real life. You know what I mean? I mean, wrestling's a sport where we, you know, we wear funny underwear and we roll around and make funny faces, right? It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be something we love. And people take it so serious, and I'm like, oh, man, like, calm down. You couldn't beat me up in a real fight. So shut the fuck up. You're not gonna beat me up in a real fight. So don't get all bent out of shape if you don't like this or like that. It's not personal, man. It's supposed to be fun. You're supposed to love it. You know, that's why I did what I did for Rachel Summerlin.
Yeah, I always respect that type of matches because, I mean, a lot of guys wouldn't have the courage to do it or even give the girl enough respect to give her that type of match. And then, you know, on the other side, the girl to be tough enough to go in that match and not look out of place at all is, you know, good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you're only as good as who you're fighting. That's how I look at it. She's awesome. And I know she wasn't going to back down. The second match, I liked better because I was beating the crap out of her, you know. Mm-hmm. But, I'm secure with myself. I don't care what anybody says. I took a lot of flack for that match. I don't give a crap.
Right.
I liked it. She liked it. You liked it. Awesome. You know what I mean? Somebody did.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all a three-way, too, which was, I mean, if, you know, you versus Rachel wasn't enough of a styles clash, you know, then ACH added to the group. And, I mean, he's a guy that I really didn't see much of until, you know, recently when he showed up in CZW and I started going, you know, checking out some of his stuff on YouTube. And, I mean, he's an unbelievable high flyer.
Oh, man. Like, Masada in his shoot video puts over ACH and puts me over. Masada don't like nobody. I'm practically family and he barely likes me. So ACH is the best athlete in the business, bar none. That kid is the most amazing specimen I've ever seen, and he just gets better and better, man. He's getting stronger, he's getting faster, he's young, he gets it. Man, I've beaten the crap out of that kid. Some of the guys down here, we beat the living crap out of him. By the time he fought Davey Richards, he was ready for it. He wasn't even worried about it. He knew, you know. He's amazing, and that was a great match. It's funny, too, because he doesn't like blood. All that blood freaked him out. It was kind of a rib, but it was really funny. He was freaking out. It was just, like, running upstairs and squirting himself with soap. And, like, he's a man, though, man. That kid's going to be a future star.
Yeah, for sure. He's got a real innovative style, and that's something that, you know, will put you out in front of everybody else. So.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Lynn. You worked with him. I mean, he's been just notorious for being, you know, just about flawless in the ring. And, you know, what was it like working with Jerry?
It sounds hokey, but he's just about flawless as a person. If everybody acted like Jerry Lynn in this business, we would all make money. All of us to this day would make money. I mean, the guy has zero arrogance, zero attitude. He's my mentor, man. I love that dude. I can't say enough. He helped me out about 6 years ago. He's always putting me over, always, you know, trying to help me get work. You know, he taught me about being a professional outside the ring. You know, he taught me about promos, and he taught me about speak from your heart, you know, and just grab a hold of it. And, you know, and it's funny because you got these guys that are smart and they think they know everything about it, you know, and then you got somebody like Jerry who actually helped me put together that thing with Masada. He helped me, actually helps me game plan my fighting for Masada. He actually, you know, it's funny because, but you know, if you Jerry Lynn game planned my fight, everybody would have put it over, you know what I mean?
Right.
But instead, it's, they see me and they don't know me and they're like, oh, that guy, and, you know, it's crap, man. That dude is amazing. He's my daughter's godfather. You know, he became a friend, which is bewildering to me because I would have never thought in my life. But it's weird, man, because when I saw him, I saw Rob, I was always a mark for him. I don't know what it was about him, but you're right. Everything he did was flawless, beautiful, and anytime he got hit in the face, you were sitting there thinking, oh, my God, the guy's dying. He's dying right in the middle of the ring. I mean, I think he sells as good as Steamboat, you know, and I'll probably take flack for saying that, but that's just, and I don't care. I mean, I've seen him,
right,
him and all that stuff. So but he's awesome, dude. It's about the end of the time for him, but that guy's amazing, man. He still teaches me stuff every day. So
yeah, he's always been, I think, Jerry, you know, as far as a fan goes, I think his biggest credit is that he made everybody in the ring look better, you know.
Oh, yeah, by far, you know. I mean, guys, almost 50, he's going to kill me. He's almost 50 years old, man, and he's making everybody still look good to this day. It's just, you know, and, I mean, I love that dude. Like, he's helped me out so much. I'm nobody, you know, and he took me under his wing and helped me and saw the passion and, you know, I owe a lot to him. And he's a great father, too, man. Like, I, you know, he taught me about being a dad. It's hokey as it sounds, like I said, he taught me, you know, being on the road, being a dad, this is how you juggle this is how you do this, and, you know, learn from my mistakes. So it's good, man. It's good to have that kind of friendship that's not just based around wrestling. It's based around real life and real life issues. So
for sure. So how did you get into CZW and everything?
Tosh with DJ Hyde, and then they just wanted to, honestly, they're trying to knock Masada off. I mean, he's the man, and they were trying to knock him off. And a little people don't know is, you know, when they see me and you see that fight, that's what I call it, is a fight. You ain't never seen anybody whoop on Masada like that. I know for a fact because he sent me the text message later that night and thanked me for being a man and fighting him. We don't always get along, but Masada, like, you know, and he was a big reason too, man. I was at Freedoms with him in Japan. You know, I think they were just trying to really, honestly, DJ was just trying to knock him off, give him a first real big fight, his first match. You know, I'm taking up from Drake, who's amazing. Drake Younger's a great dude, turned his life around. And Kobashi, Abdullah, whatever his name is. But, you know, I think that's what it was, man. And it was a little different kind of match that, you know, deathmatch guys aren't used to seeing, you know, but the boys liked it. The boys loved it, and that's what I respect, and it made me feel good. You know, some of the guys, this or that, and, you know, didn't like their opinion on the match, and I don't give two fucks, really. They don't like it, you know, they can go watch somebody else do something. You know, we were still trying to wrestle and still trying to fight and still trying to add it all in together, and, yeah, I get it. It's tournament of death, or that, you know, there's plenty of violence to come, you know what I mean? That's somebody else. You know, I mean, you can see the match. It's not like it was a total wash, you know. I know, I've still got the scars, but we're the ones in there taking the ass kicking, not the stupid asses on their computers or in front of their YouTube cameras.
Right. That spot, speaking of scars, that pile driver on the cinder blocks.
Boom!
I mean, whose idea was that? That
was my idea. The thing was, it wasn't supposed to go like that, but, you know, and then I got heat. Someone said, oh, we kicked out of it. Fuck you, I kicked out of it. You're goddamn right I kicked out of it. You know, everybody else wants to kick out 8 million finishers on tables, you know what I mean, and take 3 or 5 or 6 in a row. Fuck them. I kicked out of it because it wasn't time. You know what I mean? I don't give a crap. Plus, it's Masada's never beaten me. He has never beaten me until CZW. And people are like, oh, okay, whatever. Yeah, it's right. Like 6-0 versus Masada. Death matches and everything, bro. Because I took everything that dude taught me, and I would use it against him in matches. And he'll tell you that. It's not like it's, you know what I mean? It's not like it's a secret. But that was one of the big reasons, too, I was at CZW, because people who didn't know me, it was kind of like that Thorn. I'm Masada's kryptonite, if that makes sense. We're close and we're brothers, but I'm his kryptonite. And if anybody knows him, you know, it's the student. So...
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. I love the match. I thought it was crazy shit, and God, that pile driver, just unbelievable.
That left a mark. it's I don't know, man. It was just, you know, it happens. It's not the first time that's happened to me with him either. He powerbombed me on concrete bricks and knocked me out. You think I would stop letting him do that? You know what I mean? You think I'd be smart enough, but. You know, it's kind of a big pissing contest between me and him. You know, like, we do,
right.
I don't know, like, if you see some of our other matches, man, they're up there too, man. We do some stupid shit when we hook up, which is pretty much 99.9% all his fault. Because he raises the bar and tries to get me to do the stuff he does, and, you know, so. But, you know, you gotta love it, man.
Now, they kind of, pretty sure they teased, it's been some months now, but it seemed like they teased a return for you to, you know, come in and work Masada again, or for something to stem off of that, or for you to definitely come back.
We're trying. I honestly, to be honest with you, they don't really want Masada to know. Masada's always prepared. You know what I mean? He's the consummate professional. He's going to be ready. I don't want him to be ready. You know what I mean? I don't want him to know I'm coming. I want him to be bashing some of these dudes' braids in, bashing Sammy Callahan's face in, you know, bashing somebody's face in, and I'm going to slide in there and drop him on his head this time. Because that's the only way you're going to get on top of Masada. That's the only way you're going to beat him, is element of surprise. And when you least expect it, you know, Superman's going to be flying high, and his kryptonite's going to slide in and smash him in the face, I guarantee you.
Right. Now, how many times have you gotten that name comparison? Because... as soon as you start hearing Scott Summers, you hear about 5 times and someone goes Cyclops.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you're obviously superhero fan.
Oh, I love all of them. It's just, but that's not how I came up with it. And my, you know, Scott, part of my shoot name, it's with one T. You know, I don't know if Scott Summers, you know, and, you know, people, I don't know, it just goes to show you, they're like, oh, Scott Summers, the X-Men. Well, you know, when people first heard Steve Austin, you think of the $6 million
right.
man, you know what I mean? It is what it is,
right.
man. And people, I catch it all the time. I kind of like it. It's just funny, you know, when they hit you up, they're like, oh, okay, X-Men guy. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, it. It's just funny because
yeah.
the people who usually say it are the ones who would not say it to me if they walked into a bar and I'm chilling with my homies. You know what I mean? It's always the guys that
of course,
want to be
yeah.
keyboard commandos or internet tough guys or whatever. And it's all good, man. And, you know, with age, I've learned to laugh it off instead of snapping.
Yeah, I just didn't know, you know, any correlation. I'm sure you've heard it before because I know, you know, with the Superman hat and everything like that, I figured
oh,
we
yeah.
definitely, you know. Might
oh,
have
yeah.
some kind
got,
of tie-in.
Oh, yeah. I got I have a couple more tattoos, too, man. I actually have a Thundercat set. I just, you know, I like comic books, man, and all that stuff. So, as do most wrestling fans and wrestlers, probably. So.
Cool. You mentioned Japan. I didn't know you went to Japan. When did you go over there?
I want to say a year ago. Maybe it's been, yeah, it's been about, well, it was August. About a year ago, I did the... I can't think of the name of the match right now. But it was me and Jun Gasai and what's that kid? The kid, he was a blonde kid and he fought Masada in the Tournament of Death Finals the year before. And Takeda, he was a badass. Like that dude is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His ears have so much cauliflower. It's horrible. Like I just kept staring at his ears. It's hilarious. But he's a beast. And, you know, to work with. Jun Gasai is amazing. So,
sure.
It was great, man. It was total. They're so respectful over there, and it's so different. You know, and I hope to go back with some things that are popping up and things are looking good for me and my tag partner. So hopefully it all works out, man. But it was amazing, to say the least. It was way different. Like, I thought Mexico was cool. Japan was even better.
Yeah, I mean, was that one of the things that was always, like, a goal of yours? Because you said, you know, once you started watching the Japan wrestling, it really, like, you know, pushed
yeah.
you in another direction.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, it's funny because I got in there and I was smashing people, you know, and people were just going, what the, you know, the guys, because you hear about over there and how they fight and how they wrestle. But I still want to go back. I still, you know, that's my big thing is I'm going to go back there, you know. I see, like, Lance Hoyt and Harry Smith over there
right.
doing their thing with the tag team. And, you know, I've battled Lance Hoyt for years and years and years. And, you know, you never know, man, right? When you least expect it, the Kings of the Underground versus the Killer Elite Syndicate, you never know, I promise. Killers versus the Kings is something that's being talked about, too, which would be awesome. It would be awesome for me and my partner Ryan to get a shot at those guys. Because in my opinion, they're the top tag team in the business, to be honest with you. I just feel the guys, they fight in and night in and night out, they're the top tag team in the business. And we're
yeah.
coming for them, so.
What are, you know, some of the dream matches that you, do you have any dream matches, whether it be Japan, whether it be anywhere? Guys you haven't wrestled?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has them. I'd like to fight. I say fight because that's exactly what it'd be. I'd like to fight Kenta. I'd like to try to survive against Minoru Suzuki. I mean, he's amazing. He's a badass shooter. I'm trying to think someone. You know, I really want to fight Kevin Steen. I've seen a little bit of his stuff, and I was like, all right, you know what I mean? Like, you want to play crazy? Let's play crazy. I'd like to fight Kevin Steen. Even Davey, you know, Masada had an amazing match versus David Richards. I'd like to fight David Richards. I'm sure there's somebody else I'm forgetting, but.
Yeah, that's a pretty good list there. I don't know.
Sammy Callahan. I really want to fight Sammy Callahan. Eddie Kingston, that's another guy from, you know, Mox before Mox left, but. Eddie Kingston's a guy I think is really underrated, and he can talk with the best of them. I always wanted to fight
him.
Yeah,
definitely. And Steen, I was a bigger fan of Steen when he first got over here. For some reason, he caught on. I think, you know, in a point where he's more angle-driven now, I think. And before, yeah. I mean, his athleticism was a whole lot better. So I don't know. I was a bigger fan of him then, but, I mean, he's
kinda,
definitely got
it, some. Is it kind of like Joe? Like, Samoa Joe's another guy that I want to fight. That's kind of,
sure.
I don't know, man. You know, people change. I've just heard stuff about the guy. You know, I get what you're saying. I haven't watched enough of him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I hear. What's his name? Michael Elgin? Is that the dude's name?
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah, that's another dude. I like big dudes. I like fighting big dudes. So.
Yeah, he's he's pretty badass, and he definitely got a lot of strength to him. I've seen him pick up a couple of giant guys from Germany over there, and I forget what show that was. It was like the something they did in CZW, but
yeah, I like Bad Bones. Bad Bones is an amazing guy. He's from Germany.
Yep, WXW.
Yeah, that's my boy. I like to fight him. Good dude.
Yeah. What's the worst injury you've ever had?
Oh, God. I don't know if other than the stitches Rachel gave me, you know, the one Masada gave me. And, you know, I gotta say, Devin Moore is the baddest dude in this business. He's such a good dude. Devin, I love you, dog. Like, that dude brought me the biggest cup of Jägermeister you've ever seen in your life. It was throwing my head up. It's easy dub. So, Devin Moore, man, big ups, bro. Props. That dude's awesome. But, I tore my MCL in a barbed wire match with JT LaMotta. You know, he hit a move I've taken a million times, but that time it crunched my knee. Awesome, Andy. I took an electric chair for him and separated my shoulder. Still had about 15 minutes to go in the match. Finished, but, you know, God, it was horrible. I don't know, man. Those little ones here and there, you know, broken fingers, ankle, but probably my shoulder and my knee, man.
Yeah, definitely. Was there any of these things like, you know, sometimes, like you said, the electric cherry, I mean, a couple things you've taken and done, and do you feel like hesitant to do that same thing again, or are you anxious to do it, you know, differently,
I don't know if I would ever take the electric chair from Andy again. I've taken it before a million times. It was amazing, but it's brutal. If you can find it, man, it might be on YouTube, but I fall right on my head, my neck, anything else that was attached to that part of my body. You know, and the one JT LaMotta gave me, it's kind of like a DDT with your legs wrapped around his waist.
And
my knee. I'd get, if you're that receiver and you catch a ball in the middle and you get your clock clean, I'm pretty sure you're going to be hesitant no matter who it is to go across the middle again. And, yeah, I would do it. I would do it. You got to go both feet, you know, jump both feet in at the same time and get back on that horse. But, yeah, if that horse was bucking you off, man, I don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah. What are your goals, you know, as far as what do you want to actually accomplish?
I would like to just continue to try to make a name and try to help stuff go, try to help NWA prosper. You know, everybody's talking all this shit. They think they know what's going on with NWA and there's new owners. You know, I mean, whatever, man. You don't have to like them. We all know, you know, hey, NWA's done and this and this and blah, blah, blah. You know, but everybody just can keep drinking their fucking haterade and doing whatever they want. Me, I want to make them one of the top companies again. Ryan Genesis wants to make them one of the top companies again. You know, Jax Dane, you know, Tony Brooklyn, all those guys involved with NWA, like, you know, it's something to strive for, man. And, you know, in Texas, people always compare it to, you know, the Von Erichs and the Freebirds, you know, world class, you know, but wrestling, there's still 80-year-old women that come to the front row of shows that still love wrestling. Wrestling has become, you know, promoters get lazy, dude, and they promote strictly through MySpace. And MySpace tells you how out of my mind I am. Facebook and Twitter, you know what I mean? It's stupid. Like, you got to get out there and, you know, get your guys out there and let people know there's wrestling on a Saturday night, you know, 10 minutes from your house. And I think wrestling will revive again, man. I think NWA, the great place for them to start is in, you know, Texas. People say whatever they want, but, man, the top guys in Texas, you can say how they work, you can talk shit, but they all look like wrestlers, brother. And they all can bust their ass and they can go. And, you know, everybody's got their little rivalry and, you know, there's some good guys in Tennessee. There's some, you know, great guys on the East Coast. But it is what it is, man. I just want to get me and my boys' name out there and our team out there. And because tag team wrestling to me, man, I miss the Midnight Express. I miss the Road Warriors. I miss the Fantastics. I miss, you know, Bach Winkle and Ray Stevens. And that's just what I want to do is try to, you know, get tag team wrestling back to where it was, you know. And so somebody like the Kings of the Underground can fight, you know, the Killer Elite Syndicate, and there's 1,000 people there, you know. That's all anybody ever wants. But all the hating, man, all the hating, especially with the whole NWA thing, that just drives me, man. All the companies we work for, you know, every company I work for, you know, it just drives us to get better and better and better, you know. And hopefully return back to CZW and bust Masada's ass and, you know, show some people what I'm about. I've been doing this a long time, and I love it, and I think I got a lot to show and a lot more brain cells to kill. So.
Right. Who do you think are some of the best tag teams out there right now?
Well, again, Hoyt, Smith, Dark City Fight Club, of course. We're going to come for y'all. Just know that Dark City Fight Club, hope y'all motherfuckers are listening. Pardon my Spanish, my Espanol. We're coming for you, boys. I've seen the guys from Ring On or their champs. I've seen their guys.
Which ones?
The champs right now. What are their names? I can't remember the names.
I'm not sure who the champs are. The Briscoes?
Yeah, well, Briscoes are awesome, too. I don't know if they're the champs, but, yeah, they're awesome, too, man. Masada and I were trying to fight them about a year ago. I dig those dudes. They don't give a fuck,
awesome.
Which I respect. Yeah, I like those dudes. Yeah, for sure the Briscoes, man. And then, you know, even the, you know, you got, I think, ACH and AR Fox, haven't they been tagging a little bit, too? Those guys are amazing. That's a really athletic tag team, but, you know.
Yeah, ACH and Rich Swann tagged up, too.
Yeah. Sorry, man, sorry. That's what I meant, Rich Swann. You know, but, you know, I got my top, like I said, is those guys, and we're coming. Because number two on my list is us. People say whatever they want, but I know legit, pound for pound, in the ring, out the ring, can't nobody fuck with me and Ryan Genesis. In the real fight, in a fake fight, I don't care. So, you know, we're going to take that believability and take that realism, and we're coming after everybody, you know. We're both different wrestlers and our own right. We all got our different styles, but we're coming. I promise. You know,
right.
A lot of tag teams, one guy gets in and the team, you feel the team drops off. You know what I mean? Kind of like the second string quarterback just started playing. Fuck no. We get stronger and stronger no matter who's tagging. And, you know, tag teams better, you know, you guys better buckle your chin strap and get ready, dude, because we're coming after everybody. And if you're, you know, you're not sure about your partner, you don't know if you want to do it, retire, leave. Don't even show up. And, you know, I don't give a shit. I'll put it over. We are coming for everybody because it's, you know, when you're driven and it means that much to you, because I did it on purpose. Ryan and I both took ourselves out of single wrestling to get a common goal, which is to bring back tag team wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a really good goal. I think it's definitely a lost art. A lot of these companies, it's weird. They use their other titles besides their world title as stepping stones. And
yeah.
It all becomes about that main picture, and I miss every title being important, and whoever's fighting for it, treating that like the highest prize in the company, no matter how many other belts there are, you know?
Right. Well, you know, that was the thing, too, is like, Ryan and I are arguably a couple of the best. You know, he tried out for TNA, we tried out for WWE, you know, we've done all that crap. You know, either here or there, we're considered a couple of the best out of Texas, and we just decided, you know, we're close inside the ring, we're close outside the ring. So we both decided that we were just going to get together and... Oh, I'm sorry, man. We were going to get together and try to do something that nobody's done, and that's bring tag team wrestling back, you know, for one common goal. You know, if he's good and I'm good together, hopefully we're great, so...
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing you said about the belts is very true. You know, a lot of people, you remember that television title. Whenever you saw that television title, it meant something. But you got to remember who held the television title. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That title was Arn Anderson, Steve Austin. Those guys could bust their ass. And us as wrestling fans, we didn't know those were actually the best guys on the card. You know what I mean? You see the Lugers and the Flairs and the Stings, and you think that those guys, in reality, it was those TV champs that were the one, you know, Tully Blanchard and those guys that were the real, real, you know, real, real hands in the business. But I think, you know, you're right. It is a lost. It's a lost art with that, and everybody needs to have pride in the title that they carry. You know, they don't. A lot of people are like, oh, I got this, but I want to get that big main one. Well, you know, why don't you make your title mean enough to where you can carry that in the main event and have people just on the edge of their seats ready for your match, you know?
Absolutely. And I think it makes the whole company look better if every title looks prestigious. If you bury them or you put two or three straps on one guy and they defend one in a show, I think if you put two straps on a guy, they got to fight twice. It's just, I don't know. It's feeling
agreed.
On the belts.
Agreed. I totally agree with that. You know, if you want to carry both straps, fight twice, you know. Most places don't let you carry. I mean, if you look at UFC, you can have a belt. You know, you can be in, you know, like Randy Couture. Randy Couture did it. I think he's the only one that's done it. But, you know, you can have belts in different weight divisions and all that stuff. But I agree with you. You know, if you want to be the man and have belts, cool. You can wrestle twice. If you have two belts, you know, you can wrestle for the heavyweight and you can wrestle for the TV, or you can wrestle for the heavyweight. And if you're a tag champ, do both. I hold two belts right now. I hold the NWA Texas Heavyweight title, and I hold the Lone Star tag team title, you know, and I'm totally prepared to wrestle twice. I, you know, it wasn't anything anybody asked. It was something that I felt like, well, you know, if I'm going to put my big boy britches on and carry both belts, I need to defend both belts.
Yeah. Of course, you know, naming the show and everything like that, I was a big fan of Trent Acid. And, you know, in the, you know, early CZW and stuff, he would often hold the junior heavyweight title and the tag title. So, he would have two sets of feuds going on the same show and wrestle twice like it was nothing. And it was just like, that makes that guy look that much better and the company look strong because they're actually paying attention.
That just shows you how good Trent, how really good Trent was. You know what I mean?
Oh,
So we lost him early, but that just shows you how good he really was.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But, yeah, that's kind of, I think, like, falls on the shoulders of the promotion, too. Like, if you're going to do it, you got to execute it, and I'm not sure. A lot of it gets lost, you know. They forget about titles, or they become just building blocks for other titles. And I don't know.
Yeah, agreed.
Do you watch the WWE product and all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I catch it. I've been watching... I'll be honest, I've been watching a lot lately with the whole thing that's going on with Mox and, Ambrose and those guys. I kind of started watching a little more once he showed up. I saw that guy years ago, man, when he was tagging with Sammy, and I was like, holy fuck. Like, I'm a huge mark for Pillman, and he reminds me of Pillman and Piper, you know, if you put them together.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't see anybody being the top guy in the business. He's going to be the top heel, I guarantee you. I'm telling you right now, I've been talking about that guy for years, you know. Nobody gives me goosebumps in promos other than him and Eddie Kingston as far as the indie guys. I mean, they just, you know. And then Corey, I don't know if you know who Corey Graves is. Corey Graves is he used to be SJK, and now he's Corey Graves for SW NXT. He's amazing. Like, that dude is sick, and he's put his time in, and he's going to be a huge star, I guarantee it. But I've been watching a little bit of it. Ever since Mox showed up, man, he's just amazing, dude, and I think he has a bright future, and hopefully he does well.
Yeah, definitely. His character and his presence on the mic and all that, and just the way he carries himself very nonchalantly.
Yeah, but it's not a character. That's Mox. You know what I mean? People that have been around him, so that's the best part, man. You know, people will say about me, oh, this, now I'm crazier than shit. People will tell you about me. I'm not trying to get over like that. It's just how I was. It's how I've always been, you know, and it's me. So when you see it, you see me kicking out and getting my head busted open, and you see me over, you know, talking, that's me. That is me cranked up to a 10, and those are the best guys, you know what I mean? Like, that's not
right.
Ambrose and Moxley are the same person. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's just him cranked up to a 10, so.
Yeah, that's the thing, though, too, because, like, it's not just, I mean, he makes it look easy, but just because that's him, it doesn't make it, you know, any less of a talent, because who can be that comfortable on the big stage just as easily as he can?
Yeah, but, you know, that's just him. Like, he just, he really is cool, you know what I mean? He's, like, just the coolest. Like, he just is so calm. It's, if I had to compare him, it'd be like Tom Brady when Tom Brady's in the pocket. That dude just chills, you know what I mean? He's so calm, relaxed. I just,
yeah.
Creepy. But some guys have it like that, you know? I think that whole Tyler Black, I don't know, whatever, Tyler, that's what I know him as, and he was down
right,
here
right.
Wrestling. But, I mean, he, you know, he's, him too. He's a good dude, good athlete. You know, Roman Reigns, you know, he's got that Samoan swag about him, dude. It's just, but Mox is miles apart, miles ahead of everybody, you know? I think he, you know what I mean? He's the next, you know, next guy. Like I said, him and Corey Graves, man. XJK, Corey Graves, check that dude out, man. He's good, man. He can make people forget about CM Punk. I don't care what anybody says, and all. I'm not hating on Punk. I just Corey Graves just has it. I believe that, and he's a good dude. So hopefully he has good luck his way.
Yeah, that's good stuff. But I mean, what do you think? You know, the overall product looks like. Do you think it's, I mean, suffering or obviously? Honestly, I'm tuning in for the very same things. The guys that I did see live on the indies that I'm now seeing on my television, and it draws me in. But as an overall.
Well, I have two videos on YouTube. If you look up Wrestling Illuminati and you look up 2012 Wrestling Illuminati, I have two. I have my first one, and I have the second one with Jerry Lynn and Ryan. And that's a whole other conversation about what I believe in. Why I believe certain people up there, people, you know, tell me, oh, really, you really believe there's a wrestling Illuminati? Yeah, motherfucker, I really believe there's a wrestling Illuminati. I really believe people play favorites. I really believe people up there are afraid of people like Masada or afraid of people like me. It's how it is. Sorry, but, you know, when you have people who have been there, who have done that, that are telling you the same thing, you start to believe it. I think they're going in the right direction. You know, they've got Hunter. Hunter's on top of things and doing that. But, I mean, if you want to know how I feel about that, man, watch those two videos. And
actually seen them, and I was going to ask you about that to, you know, maybe elaborate or put out, you know, whatever kind of theories you have, man.
I just believe that, you know, as with anything, it's just kind of like with, like, music, too, and that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on real quick, man.
Yep.
Gotta have a sleeve in the shirt. Yeah. Sorry, man.
No problem.
Yeah, I believe that. It's just like with music. You know what I mean? There are people that control stuff. You know, people can say
sure.
I'm paranoid and I'm out of my mind. I don't care. I've seen it. I watched my boy go down and have a tryout and rock it, dude. Do everything he was supposed to do. Did he get a call back? Fuck no. You know, I've seen people super, super talented. You mean, you see this guy, I don't know if y'all know, I can't remember his name, but he's on Twitter, and he is just all up in Bill DeMott shit. You know what I mean? Like, he is just like, you know, people said the guy's mad and the guy's all pissed off. And
I think
you know,
you're talking about Kevin Matthews.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and everybody's you know dogging him, saying he's an angry. Well, he doesn't look angry. All his points are starting to look valid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was there for a lot of time. If it's you know Matthews you're talking about, he was there for a lot of time. So I don't really know which you know what side of what's right. I hear what you're saying that they definitely have a predetermined opinion, but
it was like okay, you don't think that's gonna it's an anti-bullying campaign, right? Well, if that really is happening, I don't know Bill DeMott from anybody. I've talked to him maybe twice. If that really is happening, doesn't that look stupid when you're running the biggest anti-bully campaign in the world and your guy's over there making people do that shit?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is, dude. You know, people sit there and they talk about, like, well, your theory and you're just doing it for attention. Okay, well, how much did Linda McMahon... How much did she spend on her Senate race?
Right.
I mean, okay, you know, more power to her trying to grow and trying to, you know, prosper in a different field. But, I mean, did you really think she was going to win? You know what I mean? Did you honestly think, you know, and it had nothing to do with if she was the right woman for the job, but, I mean, come on. They spend that much money doing that, that they pay their developmental guy $750 a week? Come on, dude.
Right. And I definitely think they changed the WWE 100% because of her campaign.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You get this crappy, watered-down version, and I think it hurts the product. I like what Paul Heyman said about, you know, we give you a little bit of craziness, we give you a little extreme, and people start freaking out. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, The Miz the other night had a blowjob joke about your mom or something like that. Your mom sucks, and it was like, oh, my God, are we going back to the Attitude Era? It was amazing because that's what we all love. Inside,
right.
We're all that sophomore kid that, you know, loved the Outlaws and loved, you know, The Rock and Steve Austin and all that when it was at its height. But I don't know, man. I think, you know, it's time to go back. They just got to, you know, I mean, they got to find the person to bring them there. You know, is CM Punk the guy to take them? Is CM Punk the guy to take them there? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. I can't say that. The guy has a job and he's amazing at what he does. Cool. To me, is Moxley an anti-hero? Yes. Is Moxley that bad guy? Yes. So we'll see, man. We'll see. I could go on forever about that, dude. I just, you know, the thing with Ryback, everybody knows. Everybody knows what they're doing, but, you know, you force feed people enough, they're going to get into it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You hear people, they knock John Cena. John Cena's a cool cat, man. Met the dude, hung out with him, cool cat. Okay, well, you hear this and you hear that about him, and then you see, you know, he did the thing that was like 300 wishes for Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big deal to me, man. I mean, I don't care if it's good publicity. I don't care if they do that to help get him over as an All-American guy. That's still good shit, man. Good for him. You know what I mean? Good for him for making those dying kids get their last wish. That's stuff that I really appreciate, man. But, I mean, like you said, it's all controlled, man. It's like, you know, if you watch the video, Jerry Lynn says best. He walks back and somebody tells him, what are you doing having matches like that? You're not supposed to wrestle like that. And he was like, dude, I'm just doing my job. You know, and he's getting yelled at for doing it. He's getting yelled at for, quote, unquote, doing his job. So.
Right. Yeah, you talk about the charity thing, too. I mean, it just reminds me, I know you probably saw it because you're from over there, but dude from the Texans, he just spent $19,000 on kids in Child Protective Services and shit, you know, for Christmas. He had two Toys R Us receipts he was holding in the air to hit the floor. Like,
yeah,
that's, I mean, whether it's for publicity or not, I mean, you're doing
it. It doesn't matter. It's good stuff, bro. All the crazy stuff you heard Rodman do, Rodman always gave to charities. Rodman would run off the court and give his shoes to kids and give his jersey to a kid. When you got that much money, man, like, you know, it's not, you know, stop spending it on $500 bottles at the pity bar. You know what I mean? Make it count, man. You know, because if I was a millionaire, if I had $60,000 in my pocket or $6, I would still have the same camo shirts on and the same hoodie on because that's just me, man. And I, you know, I grew up like that. And a lot of these guys, their heads are on right and they're doing the right thing. I appreciate that, man. It's refreshing and just sports in general. You know what I mean? You get these guys, these guys that act like asses, and then you get these guys that are real straight up good dudes. You know, and there's hope. You know what I mean?
Definitely. How do you think wrestling's changed over the years?
Well, you mean sports entertainers? You know what I mean? Like, people sit there and they don't, you know, like, I wear fight shorts. I went back to tights, but people would tell me about wearing fight shorts, and I would, you know, I'd sit there and go, really? You know, they'd be like, oh, you Brock Lesnar wannabe. I've been wearing fight shorts for 6 years before Brock ever entered the octagon, you know what I mean? Of course,
right.
Brock's a badass. Of course, Brock, you know, he went on to do some great things, but people are so stupid. I'm like, okay, your number one guy in this business wears camo shorts or wears, you know, high tops. It's different now, man. It's not where, you know, I get what they're saying, you know, get gear, do this, do that, you know, have boots. But, you know, here's the question I have about gear. Kick pads. Okay, well, do you want to be hit in the face with a real bat or a Nerf bat? You know what I mean? Like, why are you wearing kick pads? Why are you padding your shins? You're going to kick me, kick the crap out of me. Don't pad your shins. If you want to talk about believability,
right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk about making it believable, you don't see the guys in UFC putting kick pads on. The whole point is to hurt the guy, right? Well, what the fuck then? You know, we all know the deal, and we all know about wrestling, but it's entertainment, man. It's not even wrestling anymore, you know? It's become, I don't know, like a giant rock and roll circus show, you know?
Yeah.
And the best of them are gone, man. You know, the Eddies and the Chris's and, you know, they're gone. So what can you do? Just move on and try to make money with your new product, which, you know, it is what it is, man. You know?
Well, I mean, where do you think wrestling's going to go? A lot of people, you know, they say just as, you know, people like to say all the time about, you know, different music genres and stuff like that, and they're like, wrestling's dead, and it's dead, it's you know. And I don't know. I know, like you say, there is a lot of the, you know, the sports entertainment, and it does filter down into the indies and everywhere because that's kind of what's making the big money. But, I mean, there's guys like you, and there's a lot of other guys out there to hold the fundamentals. Where is it going to end up?
I hope it ends up positive. I hope, you know, I hope the guys like Steven Regal and guys like Malenko and guys like those guys are training the guys and teaching the guys, you know, and the Fit Phillies and those guys who really made wrestling an art. Does that make sense to you? You know what I mean? If everybody on the card could wrestle like Daniel Bryan or Claudio Castagnoli, then you would have the most amazing matches every night. But not everybody can wrestle like those two guys. You know, I know I've worked with both of them. So, I hope it goes back to what it used to be. I mean, everything always returns, you know what I mean? Everything always comes full circle, so hopefully it goes back to that, man. You know, it just, like you said, it's like anything, man. You know, they keep remaking all these movies, right? They keep remaking Red Dawn and remaking Ninja Turtles and remaking all this stuff, so maybe they'll remake wrestling again, man. But, you know, put it out there and give us something. You know what I mean? Something that I don't think it'll die, man. People say that because it's UFC and this, that, and the other, and I agree, UFC, you know. But in a lot of ways, I think the UFC is a stiff work, you know what I mean? I don't believe everything that you see, especially when money's involved. So I think wrestling has that more that superhero aspect to it, you know what I mean? But, you know, the more you watch UFC, the more it reminds you of wrestling. I mean, you know how you see these guys, they'll be talking, and then another guy will jump in the ring and will interrupt his promo. You know what I mean? Like, Dana White's not an idiot, dude. Dana White is directly stealing from Vince McMahon, which, you know, I mean, if it wasn't for Michael Hayes, we wouldn't even know what rock and roll music was in wrestling. You know what I mean? If it wasn't for Michael Hayes bringing that in, I mean, so, you know, Michael Hayes did it, and then everybody else caught on, and now everybody does it. And then you got music in every genre of every sport. You know what I mean? Guy, you have it in football. You have it in basketball. You have it in, you know, you have it in obviously boxing and MMA, and I think wrestling will survive, man. There's always those little kids that watch it and they love it, man. They're attracted to the CM Punks or the John Cena's or the Rocks or whoever. But I think it'll survive. I just think it's up to the guys to bring it back to the art form that made us all believe in it and love it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yep. And as far as UFC, my thing is well. I mean, when you remember when UFC first started out, it was like a completely ruleless thing. And year by year, they were like, oh, that was, man, he just broke his wrist on that guy's head. We can't allow that anymore. You know, and then on the knees to the face, we can't allow that. That went way too far.
But it's like football. Pretty soon in football, you're not going to be able to tackle the dude. You're going to get a penalty. I mean, I understand we're trying to protect people, but, you know, I mean, by 2013, I expected to see Running Man. Remember that movie, Running Man? Like, I'm surprised we don't have that by now. You know what I mean? Like we live in a bloodthirsty society, and we love it, you know? I mean, we love knockouts, and we love big hits, and we love, you know, that's just us. We love violence. I mean, that's just the world we live in. And a lot of times we forget that that's a human being on the other end of that. You know what I mean? Like, we kind of like, we're sitting there playing, we're 7 years old playing with our little figures. We forget, those aren't figures anymore, man. Those are real people with blood, sweat, and tears putting their bodies on the line, you know?
And that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, how popular was boxing back in the day? And now it's so watered down. You get your, you know, maybe three fights a year that people are really, really talking about. And then, that's it. I mean, UFC's kind of thinking to end up in that realm.
I mean, I don't know, man. It just depends. Give me one sec.
All right. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Can he wear a jacket?
Yeah.
Okay. That was the only thing?
Sorry, dude.
No problem.
I think boxing, I mean, boxing doesn't have the stars it used to have, you know what I mean? You know, Mike Tyson was a star in itself. Mike Tyson was a traveling circus, you know what I mean? See, Mike Tyson had a gimmick, you know, and a lot of these guys, they don't, you know? I mean, Manny Pacquiao, and if you see the fight with Manny Pacquiao and Bradley, that, I mean, everybody who watched that fight, that fight makes no sense to me. Man, how did Pacquiao lose that fight? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, there you go, the powers that be, making sure it happens. You know, Ryan Genesis is a Golden Gloves boxer, man. He's watched boxing, fought boxing. We were sitting there watching that together, and he looked at me and goes, that's one of the biggest travesties in sports I've ever seen in my life. He did not win that fight. You know, so then
right.
Boxing becomes shady and jaded, you know what I mean? But then they've got Pacquiao fighting this weekend for the fourth time against Marquez, which, you know, is obviously that big payday. And Marquez is Pacquiao's kryptonite, you know. But by the time we get Pacquiao and the big mouth, what's his name, Mayweather, they're going to be too old. It's not going to mean anything. You know what I mean? You know, Hogan
Who do you got
Flair,
in that fight?
Pacquiao.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Mayweather. He's amazing. He's got great talent. But also, Cotto pieced Mayweather up, dude. Cotto was whooping Mayweather's ass. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, I've never seen anybody get – because the first thing to go is speed. That's the first thing to go. You know what I mean? They're not young anymore.
Yeah.
Roy Jones was amazing in his day, but what happened with his speed kick? He got smashed. You know what I mean? Once Chuck Liddell got tapped on the chin, Chuck Liddell wasn't Chuck Liddell anymore. I got Pacquiao. Plus, I have to, man. My wife and my baby are part Filipino, so if I don't go for Team Pacquiao,
that'll be, yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, Mayweather is a very, very smart fighter. He does, like you said, he does have tremendous speed. That's definitely one of his biggest assets. I don't know. I mean, I guess, like you said, it depends on what time it happens, what year it happens, because that's going to really decide things.
Pacquiao's got heart, man. Pacquiao has heart. Everybody expects Pacquiao to lose. You know what I mean? Everybody's like, oh, money, Mayweather all day. Fuck that. Pacquiao's got heart, and you can't contain heart, man.
Yeah,
you can't measure heart.
Mayweather's kind of a classic heel, and you know the money stuff gets annoying fast. But LeBron James is also awesome, man. You know, people just love to hate. You know,
of course. Well, you know, I hate LeBron, but when he won that ring and the way he performed, I no longer hate the dude. I'm like, you earned it, bro.
Yeah,
you killed it. Because I was there when he played for Cleveland, and that motherfucker choked. Remember? And he like pretty much threw his hands up in the air against Boston. Fuck that dude. I never watched Magic Johnson choke. I never watched Larry Bird choke. They didn't quit.
Right.
They didn't quit until the buzzer was down, and that's what I grew up on. And, you know, that's the thing is NBA sucked until we got these new guys, because once Michael left, who was going to save it? You know what I mean? And then
sure.
They got the Durant and LeBron. But all in all, man, like, you know, thank God. You know, thank God for the fans that keep going. You know, thank God for wrestling fans. There's always going to be wrestling fans. I really believe that. And everybody who supports the indies, everybody who supports the indies, man, thank you. Check out my Twitter, man. Go to KOTU Scott, SCOT.
Yeah, plug it up, man.
Man, hit me up over there, man. Cuss at me, yell at me, tell me you don't like me, tell me you like me. Watch the Illuminati stuff, man. And let's just, you know, start a movement, man. You know, how do you think, you know, people heard of CM Punk? How do you think people heard of Daniel Bryan? How do you think people heard of Snatched Up Moxley? And they watch. They watch everything we do, man. They watch all the promos. They watch, you know, all the storylines. Because if you don't, and you live in that little world where you think WWE is the end-all of all, you're an idiot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're a complete moron.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that'll, you know, tell you that when Daniel Bryan first came up, that, you know, he's in Florida still because he still has to pay his dues. And it's like, what are you talking about? I don't...
Daniel Bryan has been ready for 10 years, okay?
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan did stuff in the ring to make me look good, and he hasn't even got in the ring yet. Like, he's just so much better than everybody else. Yeah, he's going to pay his dues, whatever whatever's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you Hero's think, still not you know, brought up either. He's another guy.
You know, and like I've wrestled Chris Hero. I beat Chris Hero. I beat Claudio. I know these guys. When you're in the ring with somebody, you know them, okay? They're amazing.
Yep.
Chris Hero is a big 6'6", crazy athlete. I don't know about the knockout gimmick. I don't know who he ever knocked out, but I think he's got crazy, crazy mad athletic skills. I mean, like you've never seen for a guy that size. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Claudio Castagnoli. Like, that guy is just, and I call him that name because that's what I know him by. He's just amazing. You know, Sarah Del Rey. She's a beast, bro. Like, that girl's got it. You know, she's tough.
Oh, yeah.
But the indies is worth that, man. You know, and people just need to wake up and, hey, man, there are other stuff besides what you got going on. There's nothing wrong with Ring of Honor. But there's other things out there besides Ring of Honor. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You've got your CZWs. You've got your NWAs coming back. You know, you've got your ACWs here. You've got your Branded Outlaws. There's other wrestling, man. It's kind of like music. You've got to venture out a little bit, take your negative bullshit, and, you know, you're just kind of venture out and check stuff out, man. You'll start liking it, you know?
Yeah.
And it gives you variety. It's like you got a whole giant buffet. You want vanilla ice cream every day? Cool. If that's what you want and you can deal with it, cool. I don't. I want a variety. You know, I want a buffet. I want the spice rise. And that's why I love indie wrestling, man. You know, we control indie wrestling, not some conglomerate corporate bullshit with so much money they don't know what to do with. We control indie wrestling. You, me, the wrestlers, the fans, the promoters, and, you know, where that ends is totally up to us. You know, because at the end of the day, we kill indie wrestling too, if you know what I mean by that. You got the guys that they run shows and all, you know, they kill it. They kill wrestling.
Yeah.
They got guys in the ring who are fucking backyarders that suck. The guy sitting in ringside is going to look at them and go, I could totally kick that dude's ass. Well, that's not what you want. Wrestling's got to go back to larger than life, mentally, physically.
Right.
You know.
Or there's some promoters that will allow people just to get on their shows because they sell tickets for them and stuff. You know, it's...
You know, let me know why. Yeah, of course. There's people that are wrestling that should be buying the tickets, to be honest with you. You know.
Sure.
People, you know, paying dues. Everybody's paid dues, man. We all bleed the same blood. We all take the same falls. You know, this, that, and the other. But, you know, if you're in this business and you love it and you bust your ass, cool. I don't care who it is. You know, just because you've been there and come back, does that make you better than me? I mean, maybe you have the right, you know, you have the right people. You kiss the right ass. I mean, I don't know. I think wrestling is amazing because you can see somebody come down, you know, somebody badass like Charlie Haas. You know what I mean? Charlie Haas is amazing, man. And then you see him come down there and he wrestles like a Ryan Genesis. You know what I mean? Or you see somebody like you'll see somebody like Chase Stevens. And Chase Stevens, TNA Tag Team Champion, he'll wrestle like an ACH. Like, it's awesome. You're never going to see that in WWE. You're going to get the same vanilla cone ice cream. So.
Yeah, man. I mean, if there's anything else you want to put out there and stuff, you know, go have at it, man. Like,
like I said, man, just hit up my Twitter, KOTU Scott, SCOT. Hit me up, give me a shout out. Love to follow you. I'll follow you back. Check out the Kings of the Underground, me and Ryan Genesis, man. We're doing it big. We're coming up. We're gonna surprise a lot of people. We're gonna break a lot of hearts and destroy a lot of lives. Hit me up on Facebook. I don't know. Just look up Scott Summers with one T. Check out those Wrestling Illuminati videos, man. Nobody's telling you you got to believe in it, but I guarantee you I'll tweak your interest. You know, you see stuff on TV and you think these guys are this, that, and that. That's great. I think I belong. I think Ryan Genesis belongs. I think Jerry Lynn should be a trainer at FCW because Jerry Lynn has taught me more in a car ride from San Antonio to Austin than I learned in 6 months of wrestling just from his knowledge, you know, and the way he explained it. So.
Yep.
And I could, you know, and I could be this big, gigantic doofus idiot that's full of air and full of shit. But hey, man, love wrestling, love indie wrestling. I love the fans that support us. And y'all check out, man. Come check us out.
Absolutely, man. Well, yeah, man. Thanks for coming on. You've been a great guest, and you're welcome back anytime, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. This is me, Tom. Believe it or not, man, this is me, Tom. It was 4:20 before I got on here. This is me, Tom. So maybe we'll do it after I've had a couple of cups of coffee, and then I won't shut the fuck up. But thank you for having me, man.
All right, then. Yeah, we'll do another Starbucks episode.
We'll call Scott Summers on Starbucks. This will be the 4:20 Scott Summers. So if you guys like this Scott Summers, oh, you're in for a treat. But, yo, hey, you, man, thanks, dog. Big Cat, thanks for having me. Love it, man. You guys supporting your wrestling. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Have a good night. So that was Scott Summers, man. Good dude. Badass dude. I'm going to go ahead and play a track, and then I'll come back and talk some other shit. I got some stuff on my chest. So I got to go. Let me go pish right quick.
Oh, all right. Gun in my hand, shoot. Heavy and gram, shoot. Misunderstanding with the family, man, shoot. I'm tagging them bay fruit. I'm trading the state fruit. I'm hanging with the same group. Aim at your grapefruit. The shit that you say, cute, I can't relate to. The trade pounds related to the eight in the baseball. Nigga, I hate you. Break you. Ivan Drago, I'm rushing to put pellets in your pecan bronzo. Ain't talking money, we can't convo, you pussy. Under pressure, Paul, he stand strong, though. I'm breaking the shells, I beat up your straw. You singing in jail, you cheat with your balls. Fucking nickel bag steaming, I sell coke that's whiter than milk from Matt Lisa. Frankenstein when I'm making mine. You think of rhyme, you should think of mine. Solomon Grunt.
I made my bones, shaving shearing stones in a school zone. One-way ticket from the projects to a pool home. Trapping, balling, and rapping the hood, holy trinity. I sold a pack before I lost my virginity. Surrounded by speed freaks and weed geeks. Quiet down, listen up when G speak. Return of the body catch and the crown's been captured. Caught up in a rapture, I slaughtered a bunch of rappers. Ain't no Tarzan in the marshland. Fumes from the meth cook turn me into the swamp man. Get the red wine out. White lines in Amy Winehouse. Walk fine lines in hindsight. Could've made some better choices. I didn't always have to listen to the voices. Dug in my bloodline, mud pies and drug buys. The dead live on and love dies. Solomon Grundy.
Futuristic like Paul Lafayette, or your captive the way, assassin spray, Brazilian like a cannibal spray, hard fine like dying in a two passenger plane, nosedive a five in the sky, showers of flame, houses of pain, on Cypress Hills and mountainous terrain, even the lion chills after an ounce of sour to the face, I'm the lightning that the Vikings worship, the sight of when the rifles burst, the rights of verses, I'm a decisive person, liquor on the bullet wound, feel the Henny sting, everything is everything, I'm a heavy metal king. Been labeled intelligent, the reverend, malevolent, true indeed, plus a veteran, on point like the devil's chin, surrounded by apparitions, death, smile of death, assassin with pistols, casting your dying breath, like you step into a hard flick, kill you, then resurrect you in the middle of a blizzard, the hollow to Solomon Grundy.
There you go. Some more Sean P. Now, listen, as I always have to say, listen, my further comments have nothing to do, do not reflect the opinion of Scott Summers, because much respect to the dude, he was on the show, great dude, you know what I mean? But now, you know, of course, I'm by myself, so I gotta shit on somebody. So the thing is here, well, I had said something on Saturday. I did the show Saturday. About the Lex Express page and like these dudes, and then they created a fake they somehow fashioned to I don't even know if that's the right they found a way to completely fuck Frank Goodman's Mass Maniac page up, like just shut it down, like where like you just saw like people just leaving the group like nonstop, like it was just gone. So, and they had like nothing. So then they created another fake group. Well, not fake group, but a group, but like to pretend to be the Mass Maniac page and then just shit on them on the whole page and just make fun of the dude. That was like their whole thing. Like the whole page was created for that and shit like this. And everybody should know my feelings on Frank Goodman. If you don't, ask me about it, I'll elaborate. But so then they're like, you know, we'll take it a step further. We'll add the Mass Maniac and we want him to get fucking amped up on this shit. And so that's what they did. Then for whatever reason, I for the life of me, I don't understand this move, but they added him as an admin, which gives him the power to make other people admins, administrator. They allowed him to add whoever he wanted and do whatever he wanted there. So he added Sean the Mick, or Sean McCaff. He was owner of Women's Wrestling Uncensored. He was the owner of the DOI. He happened to think that, you know, being a complete lush was more important than both of those things, so he kind of went a different direction. But that's where you might know him from, okay? So for whatever reason, he's like, fuck it. It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable how far he's going to just defend this guy. I have no idea where it comes from, why he's even doing it. I just don't understand. I don't want to keep using the phrase for the life of me, but I just can't understand. So anyway, this is what happens. As I've plugged many a times on this show, my friend Andrew Carluck, he does the Stern Nation podcast. And by the way, they did a really good show last week. Check that out. He started attacking him. And, you know, Sean started attacking him and calling him all sorts of shit and this and that. And, you know, Andrew's my friend, straight up. Like we're cool and shit. So I'm like, fuck it, dude. Yo, I got fire. Like, if I got any bit of, like, I can get on my game and I could burn people. You know what I mean? I'm not one of these motherfuckers that are going to get into a verbal battle and just bail on it. Like, I can come at people. So I knew that, like, I was going into this shit and I was like, yo, let's do this shit. You know what I mean? And that's what I decided to do. Let me find the post here, because I would love to just really, where is it? Bear with me, guys. I think I'm trying to find it, because they might have deleted it. Because this is the havoc that goes on when you get these fucking retards. And they're able to... Oh, there we go. Here we go. So, Sean the Mix thing, like, he keeps just calling people out on their looks. And this guy looks like a fucking gremlin with his ears chopped off. Like, And I hate to disrespect Gremlins like that because I love Gremlins. So he's going back and forth with Andrew, right? And I jump in, and, you know, after he's calling Andrew obese and all this other stuff, and, you know, it's whatever. And so I was like, yo, come at me, dog. You know what I mean? Like, some shit like that. Like, and I said, dude, you're a troll, both figuratively and physically. Like, come at me and shit. So then he says some shit. What the fuck does he say? Like how you look like Maynard James Keenan with AIDS. So I don't even know who the fuck that is. I Googled that shit, and I guess it's the lead singer of Tool. And anybody who knows me knows, oh, I don't know who the fuck that guy's name is. So, and this dude is like a straight up bald dude, which clearly I'm not. And I didn't think I looked like him at all. So I'm like, oh, well, that's highly inaccurate, but let's go. You know what I mean? Like, I'm down to play this game and shit. Like, we'll just insult the shit out of each other, and you're going to lose, and I'm going to laugh, like, after I post shit. So then I'm like, can you honestly say that you're a better-looking dude than me? I see that's your go-to line, but you look like a gremlin with a neck tattoo. And then I'm like, and you look like AIDS with AIDS. So, and I go, I could chop Frank's dick off by kicking you in the chin. You know what I mean? Like, so he, you know, he's responding, saying this stupid shit. And then you get a couple other people calling me a fag and all this. Which clearly I'm a fag with all my children being with a chick for all these years. And, you know, it's just, that's clearly what I'm doing. It's just, it's whatever. So I'm like, all right, let me see. Then that went whatever it was going there. So then this morning I wake up, and this dude somehow, he got one of my profile pictures that was like, if you ever seen those photo joints where you put the, you turn your picture like black and white, like it looks like a sketched picture, and it's the picture of my back with the tiger stripes and shit. And let me preface this with this. Like, if you think that I put pictures up online that I'm really fucking upset about, that I'm really embarrassed about, then you're fucking retarded. I like my tattoo. Motherfuckers want to hate. That's fine. I don't give a shit if you don't like it. I really fucking don't. You're in horrible fucking shape. Your face looks like shit. And now you're going to fucking go, oh, wow, his back looks like a faggot. Does it, dude? That's because you look at the backs of fucking other dudes all the time when you're banging them. Like, Jesus Christ, get off my dick, son. So you're his main thing is he looks better than people and that we're on Frank's nuts. But he's searching fucking profiles to find my pictures to repost and go, see? And then he goes, here's his comment, and here's my problem. Because like I said, I don't give a fuck whether he likes my picture or not. And I mean, like, this motherfucker won't be in my shape his entire fucking life. Like, I haven't been in a gym in a month, and this motherfucker is still in worse shape than me. Like, I don't give a fuck. So, and he lives a car drive away, so head on over, bro. And you know what I mean? So, here's what this fucking cocksucker writes. LOL, not. Those are two words that are completely in caps. Photoshopped. And then he puts in quotes, by me anyways. But this, that's in caps too, is the faggot talking so much shit. Really? Question mark. Fitting you got a cat tattoo because you're a fucking pussy, Mark. LOL. Now, let me just, before I go into the part that's actually offensive to me. If you had to search my fucking profile to find, which... Again, like, I guess you got a friend that I'm friends with or whatever the fuck. I don't give a shit. But, because I'm not friends with you, so I don't know how you're seeing my shit. But anyway, it doesn't really fucking matter. And if you need to search my profile to get the cat joke rolling when my name is J. Cat Morris on my fucking page, on my motherfucking ID, on fucking everything else, if you really needed to find a picture with a tattoo and go fucking... clearly because you're a pussy. Like, dude, you're not original. You're not funny. You look like a fucking retard. You look retarded, dude. I don't know how. I don't even know how you should be talking to me. So here's the offensive part. Then he goes, because obviously, like I said, he found somewhere where he could see my profile pictures, just only my profile pictures. Then he goes, brain damage killed himself to get the fuck out of taking retarded pictures with you. And to me, like, I don't give a fuck if you like my picture. But to make that fucking comment, like, that's why you're a piece of shit, dude. That's why you're a piece of shit right there. You know what I mean? Because you're disrespecting a deceased person who had nothing to do with this. This wasn't like some argument over who liked brain damage. This wasn't anything that had a motherfucking thing to do with it. This is you against me. Now, when you talk about, because a lot of these motherfuckers get on here and be like, you would never say something like that to Frank's face. Like, dude, you ain't even Frank. Get the fuck out my face. Because I'll smack the shit out of you. You know what I mean? But we're going to go about talking about someone who clearly wouldn't have said shit to hit their face. I mean, maybe you ran a women's wrestling federation, so if any one of them died and they talk shit about you, like, you know what I mean? Like, when you disrespected people, the girl wouldn't come in the back and beat you up. You know what I mean? Because you're a dirty motherfucker. You know what I mean? You're a shameless motherfucker. You really have no fucking type of decorum. You have no class. You have nothing that would make any fucking sense to anybody. Like, if you talk to one of fucking Marvin's friends that way, you wouldn't be around anymore, man. I mean, like, I was a fan of the dude, and I post some shit out of respect, and I, of course, you know, posted my picture with him when he passed and stuff like that. So you think that that's a key point for you to hit on? That, I mean, that shit is fucking deplorable. And then you get some of these motherfuckers following him, actually fucking backing his shit, talking about he died because he was a talent, his money mark, and what, are you fucking kidding me? Where do you get off? Where do you motherfuckers get off? You know? And it's just fucking bullshit. You're sucking Frank Goodman's dick so hard that you really have to disrespect dead people and everything else? That ain't got shit to do with it. You want to battle me? Battle me. I went fucking two lines on your motherfucking, on your looks, and you jumped on somebody dead because you can't fuck with me. Fuck with me. I'm begging you, Sean. Fuck with me. You're a fucking retard. Like I said, make the drive, man. I don't got a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it. You know, the shit with me and Frank, Frank's a fucking joke. So I say what the fuck I want about Frank because he's a fucking joke. You know, it is what it is. And I can't stand motherfuckers that take that route. Then now they're going to disrespect people who aren't here anymore that, dude, one of the scariest fucking people who've ever stepped in the ring as far as fucking ring presence and all that shit. Like, really, oh, you're bad. Like, yeah, people want to talk about keyboard gangsters and all that bullshit. This is the fucking highest form of it. When you talk about someone who, fuck, dude, you wouldn't say two fucking words wrong to. You probably got into the business of running a women's federation because you didn't even want to be around people as scary as fucking Marvin. As nice of a dude outside of the ring was, you just figured probably you'd be too big of a douche and eventually one of these guys would just punch you in your fucking face for your bullshit antics on your dirt sheet fucking website. I mean, like, this is the dumb shit. This is the dumb shit I don't fucking like. I'm not cool with. And, you know, then I posted some shit like, yo, man, like, I don't give a fuck what you say about my picture. I don't give a fuck if you like it. But this is why you're a piece of shit. Because of your comment there. And he goes, what, are you going to cry? And I didn't even comment on it. But my comment there is like, no, I'm not going to cry because you're a piece of shit. That's something your family does on a regular fucking basis. On holidays, they go, fuck, man, I wish my son wasn't a piece of shit. And we tried to teach him right. And this motherfucker, he's a piece of shit. Like, I fucking hate him. Can we disown him? Would that cost us more money than it's worth? No, probably, you know. So it is what it is, man. And this is probably going to continue to go on. And I hope that that the deceased names are left out of this because it's ridiculous. It doesn't make any fucking sense to bring up somebody who's not here anymore, who honestly I have no personal connection to other than being a fan. So I honestly don't see your fucking logic. You're just trying to fucking hit a nerve. And yeah, sure, you hit a fucking nerve. But that's dang got shit to do with that. I mean, you're such a fucking mass maniac fan that you're jumping on fucking boards and fucking pages and shit and getting all fired up trying to defend him. Like, this dude don't have fucking three sentences to say to me. You got fucking, he said like one or two things. You've said fucking 10 things in his defense. What the fuck you look like? And everybody else is on his dick? I think you got the game fucked up, homie. But like I said, I mean, I'll knock that fucking Giants head off your head. You know what I mean? I don't. You're stupid as shit, man. You're stupid, and this is gonna be fun. So, think I'm gonna take another break and get back on some other shit. I gotta do my football thing real quick. Probably not gonna do the longest show in the world tonight, but you know, I'm already at 10:30, so I'm sure I'll cover another half hour. So, actually, let me throw this. Maybe Sean will catch some hints off of this.
Nigga. When they see him, they say that's that nigga. His last name should be that's that nigga. Sound kinda nice. That's that nigga. Never catch him with some plastic half-ass nigga. When you hear it, you should hashtag nigga. Since birth, a little bad tag nigga. White people, please do not recite the chorus. If you do, we'll wash your mouth with the boring. Nigga!
Listen. And the boy better. I do it for real. You acting Andrew Lloyd Webber. Real McCoy leather from the back of the cow ass. The culture power will kill you. Fuck it to full blast. I said the same thing twice. Telephone gun, my nigga, the thing ring twice. You a cock diesel nigga, extra ginseng type. I'm a pop eagle nigga when the thing ring twice. Sean is the first name. Fist by the first motherfucker, the first flame. Earth lanes, leave they face in the street. You pick up your face and wait for police. But the father do floss. I make your mom suck my dick with barbecue sauce. Brr, motherfucker.
Nigga. When they see him, they say that's that nigga. His last name should be that's that nigga. Sound kinda nice. That's that nigga. Never catch him with some plastic half-ass nigga. When you hear it, you should hashtag nigga. Since birth, a little bad tag nigga. White people, please do not recite the chorus. If you do, we'll wash your mouth with the boring. Nigga!
Bop a shiki. Four fist knock, if you rock, if you not believe me. Pop your beanie for rockin' the hot bikini. Transgender, blam blam, leaving your man injured. You perpetrating the fraud, penetrating the Floyd. Wild dance moves, you be demonstrating on boys. Two slaps and I'm dead you. Give a nigga a lesson on how to catch a predator. Nigga, I'm a wild on every. Nigga cross dressing the essence of Tyler Perry. Fucking can dancing. Blam blam, man, son. Shucking and jiving. Man can't advance. I show no love. Bozo thugs when you throw those thugs. I ain't believing in y'all. Make your mom suck my dick with blue cheese on my balls.
Nigga. When they see him, they say that's that nigga. His last name should be that's that nigga. Sound kinda nice. That's that nigga. Never catch him with some plastic half-ass nigga. When you hear it, you should hashtag nigga. Since birth, a little bad tag nigga. White people, please do not recite the chorus. If you do, we'll wash your mouth with the boring. Nigga!
Yeah, so, a bunch of shit going on. I, you know what, let me get to the football thing, because I got, a little bit of CZW and a little bit of other wrestling stuff, but I want to run through this football thing kind of quick. I'm annoyed with football this week, and everybody should know why, of course, and I'll touch on exactly why, but Well, the Falcons beat the Saints on Thursday, 23-13. Kind of expected that one. You know, the Falcons picked Breeze off five times. What do you expect to happen? The Bills, they beat the Jaguars 34-18. It was one of those games you don't know who to pick. You know, I think I picked wrong on that one. But the Seahawks beat the Bears 23-17. The Bears are not a convincing team anymore. They have issues with or without Cutler. I know everyone wanted to paint the picture that, you know, the Bears is just a superior team with Cutler and not so much without him. But this is with Cutler and the Seahawks beat him. So I just, you know, it was an overtime game. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I don't have that much faith in the Bears. I mean, we embarrassed them and then, you know, sure, minus Cutler or whatever. And this started this whole shitstorm. We embarrassed the Bears. Fucking Colin Kaepernick got the nod to be the fucking guy and, you know, whatever. The Colts beat the Lions 35-33. Andrew Luck, four touchdowns, 391 yards. I mean, this guy's the truth. I mean, this rookie class is ridiculous. These are going to be quarterbacks that you're going to be talking about for years and years. Barring injury, these guys will be just definitely the future. That's just the truth about it. And next game we had the Packers beat the Vikings. Not sure what I expected to happen here. I mean, I guess that, but, you know, kind of hard fought game. You got a 23-14 game. The Packers shut out the Vikings in the second half, which is not really normal for a Packers defense to shut out anybody for two quarters, but it is what it is, you know. The Vikings are hit and miss. They were fucking hit against us, but I'm not fully sold on them being the team either. I mean, Adrian Peterson rushed for 210 yards. If you can't win the game with your guy rushing for 210 yards, then this isn't the same for you. Like, I mean, like, it's not – this ain't the year. That's my opinion on them. But I don't think it's the year for the fucking Pack either. I mean, by any means, they're actually having issues. I don't have the standings in front of me. There's a lot of teams that are going to have a hard time just getting in the playoffs. Like, there's ways that they can be knocked clear out of those spots. So, I mean, we'll really see. I mean, it's going to shape up towards playoff time. And I don't think that roster, you know, come NFC and AFC are going to look quite the way that people thought it would preseason. So, you know, the Texans beat the Titans 24-10. And they secured their playoff spot already. So, good for them. You got the Chiefs coming off of that horrific, you know, tragedy and stuff that they had hit their team. They beat the Panthers. I actually called that. And, on a lighter note, I was listening to the Nick and Artie show with Artie Lang and them. And they had the most hilarious bit on that. As far as, I mean, shit, I mean, if you can make humor out of this guy killing his girlfriend and then killing himself in front of the coach, their take on it was apparently the argument that happened that led to him killing his girlfriend was something about her going to a Trey Songz concert. And Artie starts out saying, who the fuck is a Trey Songz? What does that mean? He has three songs? Like, well, who the fuck is this guy? And then they found a track and they played it. And he's like, yeah, no, I definitely blame Trey Songz for the whole thing. Just lock up Trey Songz. And then Nick goes, Artie's like, yeah. Well, you know, let's also, you know, lock up the guy who signed Trey Songz. And then they go from that to Nick going, no, let's go all the way back and just lock the Sugar Hill Gang up, because without them, there wouldn't be any Trey Songz. And they went fucking nutty with it. It was pretty hilarious. Only those type of guys can really do that, that that stuff. But it was just funny to me. I mean, that's a terrible thing. And I don't even understand a guy driving to go see his coach and thank him and then kill himself in front of him. Like, he can't even go back out to the car. And something about the whole thing is just fucking creepy as hell. Obviously, you know, murder-suicide is never a fucking delightful story, but this is just like, Jesus Christ, like, he killed this girl, and like, I think like 2 hours later, some shit like that, like, drove to the fucking stadium, and it's like, hey, yeah, I really want to thank you, buddy. Oh, man, well, you know, oh, I don't know what's going on with you, but all right. You know, I mean, that's fucking brutal. That is, I don't know how to put words to that, because that shit ain't right. Anyway, so they won the game. Oh, man. The Rams beat the Niners 16-13. They seem to have our motherfucking number. I guess you can call it that. I would say that this was an overtime. And, the Rams tied us in overtime the first time when Alex got hurt. Here's the thing with this. I don't like this fucking quarterback controversy bullshit. Alex went fucking 18 for 19 2 weeks before he fucking got, hit up with the concussion. They went with Colin Kaepernick and just like, yo, yeah, sorry for your luck, buddy. You got a fucking concussion. Go fuck yourself. And they just fucking sent Alex back to the bench. They dealt with Alex for fucking how many fucking years before they finally just like, okay, yeah. We'll re-sign you. All this bullshit. They were just re-signed at the beginning of the season. Like, so you put Kaepernick in when we're a fucking 8-2 team, 8-2-1 team, and you start him over fucking Alex. So what the fuck? You don't expect growing pains? We're still one of the best fucking teams in the NFC. Like, everybody is expecting us to be one of those fucking, you gotta beat those fucking guys if you're gonna be anywhere near the fucking Super Bowl. So, I'm really confused on where you go with this type of direction. I just don't get it. There's gonna be growing pains. Oh, and shit. We didn't see that at all. See, and people like to hate on Alex, but an 18-for-19 performance, the guy only lost a handful of games in 2 fucking years. Like, last year he was dynamite. This year he was dynamite. We lost in the fucking championship. We didn't lose that fucking game because of Alex. There wasn't a fucking thing he did wrong in that game. It was 2 botched fucking Williams joints. That's all that was. So, we're benching Alex on what premise? I understand Colin is a talented dude. Build him up through the preseason. If you want to fucking make him our starter come next year and build up through the whole season and maybe we make a comeback, we'll hit wild card, he'll hit his stride, and we'll go through the playoffs. But if we're fucking already one of those teams that are kind of favored or, they were definitely within the 1 or 2 on the fucking power rankings for several fucking weeks this year. So anyway, what happens? Okay, 16-13. So let's talk about 9 points. Let's talk about 2 points that fucking he threw a ball away in the end zone, cost a safety. Some people want to call that call bullshit. People want to call it whatever they want. Doesn't matter. He threw a ball away in the end zone, it's a safety. And again, people, Colin Kaepernick ran a 50-yard run. That's great. He also pitched the fucking ball towards the fucking end zone. Completely bad pitch and scored a touchdown for the other fucking team. So what are we talking about? Like, why are we talking about this guy? Like, he's the fucking shit. And I'm sorry, a playmaker does not beat consistency. It doesn't. If you're a consistent guy that just doesn't lose games for your team, you're more valuable than the fucking playmaker that's going to throw picks and drop the ball and fucking cause safeties. And all that bullshit. You just, it's a fucking honest statement. So it's whatever. I'm fucking disgusted with this. Now we have to stick with Colin because we fucked the whole chemistry up with that shit. You can't toggle back and forth now because you'll really fucking implode. You'll lose both of these fucking guys at the end of the season. So we just got to stick with fucking Colin at this point. But I think it's bullshit they are. I know they are sticking with Colin come Sunday against fucking Dolphins, which will be fine. Then he'll look fucking great because it's the Dolphins, and I believe we play the Patriots. If I'm not wrong, I'm pretty sure that's the week we play the Patriots. And you know, and we'll see. You know, if he's exposed again there, but it's a guy who just started starting games this year. Why? Who the fuck with a winning record changes quarterbacks in fucking like week 12? Who the fuck does that? That shit's fucking weird. So I don't agree with it. It's gonna be what it's gonna be. I'm gonna be a fucking lunatic for the rest of the season, as everybody knows who I am on football days, and that's that. The Pats beat the Dolphins 23-16. As I've always said, the NFC East and the AFC East are just battling ass games. So you got your, you know, Pats, I won't say completely scraping it out, but surely not winning super convincingly against the Dolphins. And you got your 9-3 Pats and your 5-7 Dolphins. So it is what it is there. The Jets beat the Cardinals by an enormous amount, 7-6. There you go. With McElroy at quarterback, replacing Sanchez. So that's something else. When people scream for Tebow and Tebow's fucking shoulder, something's banged up, and they wind up with a third string over their first string. Like that team is fucking disastrous. They're 5-7, but they are disastrous as a squad. So chemistry, fuck, really? They have the chemistry of a fucking redneck meth lab, like fucking just blowing their fucking living room up and shit. That's how the fucking Jets play. Oh, fuck. The Broncos beat the Bucks. I mean, what can you do? Fucking Peyton Manning, fucking 242 yards, 3 touchdowns. Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. You know, it's always tough shit to deal with. The Bucks are fighting. They're 6-6. This was a shit team last year. 6-6 is not a terrible look. But, you know, what can you do? The Browns beat the Raiders. Kind of expected that one, too. Fucking Whedon. 25 for 36, 364 yards and a touchdown. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, that's some fucking, that's some yards put in. You know, I mean, Palmer threw for 351 yards. I don't know what this speaks for either one of these defenses, but, you know, it's only a 20-17 game. Obviously, there's some red zone stuff going on. The Bengals beat the Chargers 20-13. They're now 7-5. The Chargers are 4-8 and not looking like they're coming anywhere near the playoffs. Yeah, and then you got the Eagles losing to the Cowboys, but, you know, covering the spread. And the Cowboys beat them 38-33. And that was that. The Steelers beat the Ravens 23-20 in a rally. I mean, I had those fucking Steelers buried in this fucking game, and they came the fuck back with Charlie Batch. Ball guys. Yeah, came back with Charlie Batch. Good old Monday Night Football RG3 is the shit. This fucking guy, I mean, he does so much. He only threw for 163 yards. If that doesn't tell anywhere near the story of the fucking plays that this guy made. London Fletcher was fired up all fucking game. He was definitely doing his thing. They had him mic'd up, and he was doing his fucking thing. So, yeah, big fucking shout to that. My phone beeped a second ago. It looks like I have bars, so I don't know what the fuck it's beeping at me for. Unless I had some kind of other call or something. I don't know what the fuck goes on there. Oh, technology. Give me one second. All right. So then, let me just go into my picks. All right. Blow through this real quick. All right, tomorrow night, you got Denver at Oakland. Denver's favored by 10.5 points, and I got Peyton Manning trying to make a statement and blowing his team out. They're fucking Raiders, for Christ's sakes. Then you got Atlanta at Carolina. Atlanta being favored by 3.5 points, and I'll go with that Atlanta team. I'm telling you, Newton is not consistent. He's really put himself out there as somewhat of a jerk off this season, as far as I'm concerned. And Atlanta, even though they've been a little hit and miss, they're not that far of a miss. They're going to take advantage of this Carolina team. And you're only talking 3.5 points anyway. So Chicago at Minnesota. Chicago is favored by 3.5 points, and I'm sorry, I got to go with Minnesota bouncing back in like this last-ditch effort to make themselves look serious. So that's my go there. Baltimore, Washington. Washington's favored by 0.5. I got to go with Baltimore on this one. As much as I just want to keep on that fucking RG3 train, I don't know. I think Baltimore is going to make them make mistakes. I can't even be sure that I won't change that on my on the pool that I do before Sunday, because I'm hearing T. Suggs might be out again. I don't know. I'm probably going to stick with Baltimore, though, but it's going to be a game. Should be. Philadelphia, Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's favored by 7.5. I think Philly's going to keep it close. Call me crazy. So I'm going with Philly. I don't think they're going to win the game. I think they can keep it close. San Diego at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's favored by 7.5 points. Going with Pittsburgh. San Diego's falling off. Dallas at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's favored by 3.5 points. Got to go with Cincinnati. Dallas is not convincing. Cincinnati's put up some pretty big games and big points, and I don't think Dallas can keep up with them. Tennessee at Indianapolis. Indianapolis favored by 5.5 points. Got to go with Indy. The Jets at Jacksonville. The Jets are favored by 2.5 points. I'm going to go with the Jets and their crazy fucking 8 quarterbacks might play the game. So Jacksonville just doesn't impress me. So I think this is going to be one of the ones the Jets win. And the fans will go, here we go, and fucking cry the next week. St. Louis at Buffalo. Buffalo's favored by 3.5 points. I got to go with St. Louis on this one. I think Steven Jackson is going to come through big on Buffalo. And, let's hope that happens. Kansas City at Cleveland. Cleveland's favored by 5.5 points. I'm going with Cleveland. They're not going to win them all, Kansas City. I think that was their second win last week. And Cleveland's scrappy. They're definitely scrappy. Whedon puts up those points against Cincinnati, or those yards against Cincinnati. Cincinnati. Why do I keep saying Cincinnati? Kansas City. Kansas City's buried with that type of points. Miami at San Francisco. I'm no Tony Bennett. San Francisco is favored by 10.5 points, and I got to hope we're going to blow them out. Sorry, I have a hard time going against my team, no matter how mad I am at them. New Orleans at the Giants. The Giants are favored by 6.5, and this is going to be another one of those games where New Orleans looks like absolute shit. So, they have a lot of holes, and the Giants do too, but the Giants are a better team than New Orleans this year, hands down. Arizona at Seattle. Seattle's favored by 10.5 points. I don't know about all those fucking points, so I'm going with Arizona. They've lost, I think, like 8 or 9 in a row, but whatever. This is divisional, and 10.5 points is fucking crazy for a team like Seattle. So, Detroit at Green Bay. Green Bay is favored by 6.5 points. And I'm going with Detroit in a spoiler on this one. Houston at New England, Monday Night Football. New England's favored by 4.5 points. And I'm going with New England. You know, that's what I'm doing there. All right. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play another track. I'm going to go over the CZW card when I get back. And then I'm going to wrap it up. So, I wasn't going to play another track, but I am. So, check it.
Yeah. Joe. One for the money, two for the dough, three for the paper. That's all that I know. Broke with a job, a crook with the cash. You be hoping to God I don't put my foot in your ass. Got my foot on the gas, and I'm running the red. Roof is packing your ass, I just gun your dreads. Never go on the block like I used to do. Walk on the block, all of my niggas miss the boom, bad rap, whatever. The black leather, match the black Nike Venom. So nice that my wife be in the booth. Body the grape, ain't great. Probably break one eighth of your face off. Breaking off, fake and soft pardon. I hate all of you. Punch you in the face, now you able to taste barbecue. Hard to do this, I'm doing me. You can do what you do, just don't do it in front of me.
Personally, it's nothing personal. Send a verse for me, I send a verse to you. Clearly, it's that. Really, you wag. I'm actually one of the rappers that really can do.
One for the money, two for the dough, three for the paper, that's all that I know. You call that a show, it's more of a circus. Trying to hear buck flow, still calling them nervous. You fall for the service, you fall on your face. Judging shit backwards, stop calling this case. Now I'm all in your space, cause I'm out of this world. And if I show what's on my plate, say goodbye to your girl. She really a bird, cause you giving a seed to leave. Now she expect the same shit from me, please. Use your knees for a sin. You got a big mouth. Now Houdini, my little man. Damn, it's a new pedestal that I sit on. So now my shit born better stools. The tools that I use, two hammers, one for the nailing your coffin, the next for your life after. Blah.
Personally, it's nothing personal. You send a verse to me, I send a hearse to you. Clearly, it's that. Really, you act. I'm actually one of them rappers that really can rap. I'm actually one of them clappers that actually strap. I'm actually running with Africans, trafficking smack. I'm actually smacking the nap off your faculty jack. Splitting the black, nigga nap, Cadillac rap. Fake fuck, I will fuck up your face. Fuck face, finger, fuck trigger, nigga the ape. Good night, folks!
There you go. So I actually purchased the CZW Night of Infamy show last night. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I purchased it, and you have it on stream for however long, whatever the fuck. So I'll be not only reviewing Cage of Death next week, I'll be reviewing Night of Infamy as well. I'm gonna do the whole 2 month stretch joint because I'm gonna get Cage of Death on Saturday. So, you got, on the card, you got Rich Swann versus Shane Strickland. This is one thing they built. They've done a pretty good job at doing that. I'll give them that. But that's, you know, one of the very few things they've even tried to build. So that'll be good. I mean, there's two tremendously talented dudes. Fucking, they'll do their fucking thing. Greg Excellent and Mama Excellent versus Drew Gulak and Kimberly. You got the Blackout of Ruckus and Black G's versus the Ohioans for Killers of Jake and Dave. And I really think this match can be fucking just serious shit. I really think that if it lives up to its potential, people are going to be talking about this match. I really hope it does. It has every fucking right to. And that's for the number one contenders of the tag team championship. Sami Callihan versus Adam Cole, CZW rules match, which, again, I've said in the past, I don't get it. Hold on. All right. Then you got A.R. Fox versus Question Marks. So it could be anybody. Four Loko in ultra-violent insanity match, which from what I hear, this is going to be a match that's very similar to, like, that, what the fuck do they call it, like Crazy 8 or some shit in the PWU. You know what I mean? Like, it, whatever. They're doing that thing. And it's Azrael and Bandito. No, Alice Colon, Azrael and Bandito versus Nation of Intoxication of Danny Havoc, Devin Morn, and Lucky 13. You got the World Heavyweight Championship on the line with Masada and Drake Younger. I think it's going to be bananas. Then you got the Cage of Death, Shattered Dreams, DJ Hot, and Dream On. So, now, it is what it is. that's what's going on there. Like I said, I'm gonna go over a bunch of stuff with that. I'm gonna get into detail with that stuff and the Night of Infamy that I'll be watching over the weekend as well. And I'm gonna get at it all. It should be good times. And let's see what goes on here. What else do I got? I was talking about Cat Williams last week, and apparently since then he has attacked a dude in Target and announced his retirement from comedy. So everything's heading in the right direction for Cat there. You know what I mean? That's something else there, buddy. I don't know. I don't know what goes on with a motherfucker. I just don't. So let me do plugs. My dudes over there at the Wrestling Soup, big shout out to them. They went out to the Stitcher Awards in San Francisco. They didn't win it, but they were up against fucking ESPN and like all sorts of other shit for sports commentary, because, you know, I guess wrestling gets, you know, lumped into the sports category. Should have its own category, and they'd run away with it. But they went over there for that. So, I mean, that's pretty big stuff. And, at the very least, had a great trip out to San Francisco. Actually got to meet each other for the first time ever. Because for those who don't know, Mish is from, like, Chicago. And Joey's from, like, Boston. So they clicked up over the internet and did the whole thing on a radio show. But never really actually got to meet each other. So there you go. And, like, trip, you know, counts for something for sure. And just to be nominated is just awesome stuff for those guys. So, but by all means, shout out to Wrestling Soup. Shout out to my dude Andrew Carluck and Stern Nation. Like I said, they put on a great show last week. I definitely enjoyed it, and anyone who's a Howard Stern fan such as myself, you'll enjoy it. So check them out. All these guys have Facebook pages, so WrestlingSoup.com, but check Wrestling Soup out on Facebook. Check Stern Nation out on Facebook. The Sports Den, which I believe is going on right now, they got Ustream, they got Stitcher, they got the whole thing. And check them out. They do a fantastic sports program. Chef Dube, Roy Herman, of course, Nick, you know, they do the thing. Women Love Wrestling, check them out. I think they're on Blog Talk, but again, check the Facebook page. You'll get more of a direct link to them there. Who else I got? Two Moms, One Show, check them out. I think they will be returning on Tuesday. They took this Tuesday off because, Natalie is with Mish, and Mish was in San Francisco, and, you know, we're listening live to results to figure out whether the guys won that award or not, and, you know, it's exciting stuff. I was doing the same, you know, so, big shout out to them, everything else, and I think that's all I got for the week. Let's check out my homegirl Yolanda over there at the Shiznit. She's a very, very good person as well. I want to find this song to close with. Start getting everybody in a better mood. We got to get everybody in a better mood. Let's get this holiday shit going. Yeah, I mean, so to raise the Christmas spirit, who better than DMX? I'll check you motherfuckers out next week. Peace.
So I printed the lyrics of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And would you,
I know the lyrics.
Would you do us the honors of spitting Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Come on! Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw him, you would even say it close. Come on, come on! All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, come on! Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you ride?
cried my sleep tonight. Then all the reindeers loved him, and he shouted out weakly, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you go down in history forever. You go down in history forever. You go down in history.
What?
That is going to be fantastic. I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Did I get the names right for the reindeer?
Let's see.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.